Heavenly Father, though we are few in number, we are mighty in spirit. And Lord, we pray now that you will indeed open the eyes of our hearts, that we will indeed see you. Lord, as we explore your word this morning, help us to see, help us to hear, help us to understand. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. So, we are in a series that we're calling the Jesus Lifestyle. Jesus is speaking to us through the Sermon on the Mount. So far, we've seen that happiness comes from pursuing a deeply rooted relationship with God, that is the way to find true and lasting happiness. We've seen how that pursuit talks about our relationships with other people, our relationship with God, and how we can transform the world around us. Last week, Jesus showed us that the righteous life is one that actively seeks peace and that doesn't give unrighteous anger any oxygen. Since we began this series, I've had a few people say to me, Jen, some of this teaching is a bit hard. It's a bit radical. And if you know anything about my response to that, I will always say, Jesus is radical. He's totally countercultural. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. So as the author and designer of life, we have to believe that he knows the best way for us to live that life. All of life. So we turn today to Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 30, and Jesus turns our attention to what is the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, I've been saving a joke for today. I know, Kev, you're going to love this one. Moses came down the mountain and he says to the people of Israel, I've got good news and I've got bad news. The good news is I've got him down to 10. The bad news, adultery stays. Now, I know in polite company, we are not supposed to talk about sex. And in the church particularly, we avoid the topic like the plague. But Jesus talks about this topic, and when Jesus talks about a topic, so should we. Otherwise, we're not giving ourselves the opportunity for a full understanding of God's purpose for our lives, his desire for our happiness, his full and intentional love of us. The Bible tells us that sex was created by God. He came up with the idea. So he's not surprised by it. He's not embarrassed by it. But he says it should be enjoyed within parameters. When it's enjoyed within his parameters, he says, it is good. What are his parameters? One man, one woman, within the covenant of marriage. But in a broken world, sex has become complicated. So what does Jesus have to say about this topic? First, he says to us, be inwardly pure. Verses 27 and 28. You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus said this one thing last week, he says it again this week. You have heard it said, but I say. He's contrasting the law with the intent of the law, our system with God's system. And he shows us here today that the root of adultery emanates from our innermost thoughts, our desires, our heart. Jesus says that unfaithfulness begins not with the actual act of adultery, but when somebody looks lustfully at another person. The word lustfully is translated from a word that is closely related to the word that also translates out as covet. So to look at someone with lust is to want in some way to possess them, to own them, to control them, to have them for ourselves. To lust after somebody is to view them as an object that exists to meet your needs. It's a selfish feeling rather than seeing that person as somebody to respect, as a child of God, somebody who should be honoured, as somebody made in the image of the Creator. Now, I don't think I'm on my own. If I were to say here, the way I look at the world at the moment is that our culture is totally obsessed by sex. If you have a look at the movies, at magazines, at video clips, at books, at TV shows, look at the internet. Listen to conversations down the street. Our culture says it's okay to look. That's not hurting anyone, is it? It's okay just to imagine a bit. That's not doing anything wrong, is it? But like the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day, our culture is asking us, is tempting us to believe that our thought life is our own, convincing us that just by fulfilling the external rules, we can still be seen as righteous. That as long as our words and our behaviour are okay, then we can indulge in whatever thought life we want. But that is exactly what Jesus is tackling in this section of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is saying that even entertaining the thought is the same as the act itself. That even though your family may not see it, your friends may not see it, your minister might not see your thoughts, but he reminds us that God himself sees our hearts. He sees our thoughts. The Bible places a lot of emphasis on sexual purity because a lack of faithfulness in this area wrecks marriages. It destroys families. It undermines the very fabric of our society. Don't believe me? Just check out the gossip mags next time you're at the checkout at the supermarket. So Jesus says, secondly, be radical. Cut it out. Verses 29 and 30. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Now that's radical. Yeah? I mean, this teaching is really hard. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Today is not the day to be Pentecostal, by the way. Do not raise your hands at questions today. Who in this room, man or woman, has not looked too long at the member of an opposite sex at some point whom they are not married to? The answer would be, if we were honest, no one. Either in person or on a screen, a TV show, a magazine. The Apostle Paul has never been more accurate when he says in Romans, we have all fallen short of the glory of God, especially in this area. You know, the question was asked once, what's the difference between looking and lust? And apparently the answer is 2.5 seconds. Okay, so it's when we go from appreciation to desire. This teaching is so radical that if we took it completely literally, we would be a church filled with eye patches and people with missing limbs in every row. The early church father, Aurelian, actually did take this literally and emasculated himself to avoid temptation. Gratefully, he was declared a heretic at the Council of Nicaea, so we don't have to take his example. But so Jesus is not telling us to take this literally. He's not telling us to wound and maim ourselves. That's not consistent with the rest of the Bible. I mean, even blind double amputees can have lustful thoughts and inappropriate relationships. What Jesus is telling us is that it is better to love righteousness than to hold on to destructive thought patterns, to hold on to indulgences, manipulations that we've come to think of as normal. Perhaps part of who we are. Perhaps things that are accepted, that everyone's doing, right? Things that are culturally normal. Like living together before marriage, or the LGBTIQ agenda, or lustful looks, or naughty books, or fanciful thoughts, or internet sites, or racy pictures. You know, infatuations with TV characters is quite common now. Or even infatuations with work colleagues or teachers. What Jesus is saying is cut it out. In our culture today, this is totally radical thinking. In fact, it's fair to say that our culture is moving so rapidly in the opposite direction that at times this feels like it would be impossible to hold these standards. However, Jesus calls us to be different. It's not that as Christians we're just old-fashioned and fuddy-duddy, you know, the cosmic spoil sport. It's just that we truly believe that the one who created our bodies, who created sex, who created marriage, is best placed to say to us how to use it. It's that simple. In life, God has provided us with a design manual. We call it the Bible. And we believe that what is in there helps us to live, well, a full and happy life. And what Jesus is saying is that if we violate the design manual, we're headed for trouble. Remember the one man, one woman within a covenant of marriage? Because sex is a covenant good. It is not a consumer good. But people still say, but I feel like I should be able to do whatever I want. But if what we feel is opposed to the design manual, then I'm headed for trouble. Like if I said I don't feel like I should have to top my car up with oil. Soon enough, it would be running rough, wouldn't it? It would be making a few odd noises, then eventually the motor would cease and it would bring total destruction. See, it doesn't matter what we feel. If we live differently, if we live opposed to the design manual, it will all come unstuck, because in the end it's not what we feel, but it's a question of design. But it's not easy to be different, is it? Sometimes it's easier just to go with the flow. It takes courage to hold up to Jesus' standards, to even attempt to live that way. It takes strength to swim upstream. It's not easy, and Jesus knows that, but he says it will be worth it. So what if we're all conscious of falling a little short in this area? Jesus says, be repentant. As Christians, we know that because of the cross, because of the life, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that it is never too late to start again, to receive forgiveness, no matter how far short we've fallen. Repentance, as we said earlier, is with the kids. It is a really positive word. It means to intentionally turn towards God and in the process turn away from what's wrong, so that we can be positioned to receive all the promises of God, all the good things that God promises us. C.S. Lewis puts it brilliant in his book, Mere Christianity. He writes, when he said be perfect, he meant it. He meant that we must go in for the full treatment. And it's hard. But the sort of compromise we're all hankering for is harder still. In fact, it's impossible. It may be hard for an egg to turn into a bird, but it's a jolly sight harder for it to learn to fly whilst remaining an egg. We're all like eggs at present. You cannot go on indefinitely just being an ordinary, decent egg. We must be hatched or go bad. Lewis continues, if we let him, for we can prevent him, he will make the feeblest and filthy of us into a dazzling, radiant, immortal creature, pulsating with all the energy and joy and wisdom and love of God, which we cannot now fathom nor imagine. The process will be long and in parts very painful, but that is what we're in for, nothing less. Now, we've been hearing throughout this series that following Jesus involves a radical lifestyle, as individuals, as a church, as a community. But what a vivid picture C.S. Lewis has painted for us. Trying to hold on to sin in our lives is like flying whilst remaining an egg. It's impossible. God's desire for us is to fly. So everything that's preventing it has to go. Jesus warns us of the dangers of trying to hold on to destructive thoughts, desires and behaviours. He says, cut them out at the root. Now, I know there are going to be some that probably say, Jen, you've gone too far this time. But remember, these are not my words. This is not my teaching. This is Jesus. It's in the Bible. This is what he said. God's not, you know, we can't just take what we want and throw out the rest. We have to take the Bible in its entirety. God's not a good luck charm that we pull out when we need a parking place. He's either Lord of all or he is not Lord at all. John Stott writes, when Jesus is Lord of our beliefs, opinions, ambitions, standards, values and lifestyle, only then are we truly living out the Christian life. Only then will we truly find true and lasting happiness. So are we willing to get radical? Will we trust him to do this work in us? If so, let's offer up to him everything that needs to be done away with. Let's turn to him for forgiveness. Let's look to him to provide us with his righteousness. Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love for us, for our salvation through your Son. Thank you that you've shown us what real love looks like. Give us the courage to be radical and the strength and the will to submit to you in every area of our lives. Guide us as we strive towards living the Jesus lifestyle. In the name of Christ, amen.